Let's start by declaring who we are as a church. Relentless Church is a church where gospel NL forever. Multi-ethnic movement. So we're going to move. We got to take steps. This whole series is about progress. So let me be real clear what the steps are at Relentless Church. We haven't said this in a while like this. So you're going to find yourself somewhere on this spectrum, and there's no shame in wherever you are. The first step at Relentless is to show up, which you've done very well today. Congratulations. You showed up. Now, I'm speaking to some people online that have been listening to Relentless Church for months and have not yet shown up in person. That's your next step. Once you show up, your next step is to fill out a Connect card. It's a QR code in front of you. There are also physical cards out in the lobby. When you do that, we have a free gift for you. It's not a gimmick. We're not trying to, it's not a timeshare thing where you have to listen to it. It's just something we want to give you. It's a reward for taking a step. So if you fill it out online, just go to the table and say, hey, I filled out a Connect card for the first time. They'll give you a free gift. If you want to fill it out, you got it. So show up, Connect card. After you filled out a Connect card, your next step is to come to something we call Welcome to Relentless. We do it a few times a year. It's an orientation of types about who we are behind the scenes. It's a big part of the Welcome to Relentless is Q&A, where you can ask any, and we mean any question. Imagine it has been asked about the church, about what you want to know. So it's for you. It's for us to introduce our staff, what we're all about. So once you fill out a Connect card, your next step is to come to Welcome to Relentless. So that happens a week from tomorrow. If you've never been, and I'm talking to a lot of people in this room that have never been, you're invited. I'm begging you. Begging, baby. It's a big deal. It's your next step. Once you come to Welcome Relentless, which is a lot of people in the room that have been to that. Some of you went to Welcome Relentless 6 years ago. Then it's about jumping into what God's doing here and being a part of the body of Christ through giving, serving, showing, bringing all the things that we talk about in that. So just keep being the church. And it's not, there's no shame in asking somebody, hey, have you ever been to Welcome to Relentless? Maybe you should go. It's a good night. It's a fun night. It's casual. That's all I'm going to say about it. We just want you to take steps as we talk about progress. As we're a multi-ethnic church, last week, if you're here, you heard a message that was very crucial to who we are as a church. And I was so encouraged by last week. I wasn't encouraged because I was sick. I wasn't encouraged because our amazing team pulled things off. I didn't doubt that. I was just encouraged because years ago we had a conversation. What if there's a Sunday, for whatever reason, where I can't preach, where joy's not available, where wrath's not available, what are we going to do? And what do you know? Hopefully for the last time we had a Sunday where that was the case and we had a video ready, and I hope it blessed you. And if you missed it, you can go back and catch it. But it's very foundational for why we are all in on this multi-ethnic church movement, and we continue that today as we continue making progress. So today, the statement of the day is a statement we say around here, faith over feelings. Now, I got to define that because some of you are going to get your feelings hurt because we're talking about faith over feelings. This is a very narrow message as far as we're not anti-feelings. We want to choose faith over feelings, and there are some times where you have to choose. That's what today's about, is those when you have to choose. But sometimes you don't. We're not anti-feelings. We want feelings and faith to go together. That's a good thing. We want you to feel something as we worship. We want you to feel something. The Holy Spirit is into feeling. God is a God of, he created emotions, feelings, and desires. He has emotions, feelings, and desires. So we're for feelings, emotions, and desires. However, this message is built on this truth. Every emotion, feeling, desire that I have is not of God. All right? So just because I feel it doesn't mean, and that's so countercultural. And we know when we're countercultural, we're on the right road. Because Jesus was countercultural. So our culture is so deep into follow your heart, go with your gut, and that's not always bad, but we're going to talk about how it could be. Let me give you a couple verses. Let's do a trivia, Bible trivia. All right, first verse, be in touch with your own heart, for in the end it will not fail you. Second verse, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? One of those is in the Bible, one of those isn't. Is it the top one in the Bible, bottom one in the Bible? Do we know 11 o'clock? It's okay if you don't know. You're welcome here. The top one is from a book called 2 Opinions 4, verse 11. It's made up. It doesn't exist. The bottom one is from Jeremiah 17, 9. So our culture and even church culture, you can start to think that is a verse. Hey, be in touch with your own heart. If you feel it, like if you trust it, all that. And that's not anywhere in Scripture. In fact, Scripture teaches that our hearts are to be doubted. Right? Your feelings that grandma said, go with your gut. God says, hold on a second. Let's not automatically. Do I want my kids to trust their gut? Occasionally. What I want my kids to do is learn to evaluate their heart, their feelings against their faith. That's wisdom, to be able to discern what I'm feeling with what is right and true. And if you grow up with the assumption that what I feel is true, because here's how the lie gets played out. God created feelings. I'm feeling this, so it must be from God. Since God created feelings and I'm feeling this, then it must be from God because God created feelings. No, right? That is bad logic and false. Just because you feel it, just because I feel it, doesn't mean it's true. Here's a place where your pastor has battled faith and feelings in my own life over decades. I was taught as a young, and when I first started making money mowing yards, that any money that came into my life, God got his tithe, right? And I've lived that principle for decades of tithing. And it was great at first, but over time, somewhere along the line, I started to add up and do the math, because I'm a math geek. How much money, if I hadn't ever tithed, how much money would I have? And wouldn't that be better spent on something other than given to the church that, you know, is supposedly doing the mission of God? Can I just give it to God's bank account and skip the church? I'd feel better about that. Just all these feelings and coming back to faith of trusting God with my finances, and that is the way we worship with our finances, is to tithe. And just to see God's faithfulness in my life and through scripture over time, and really decide it's not about feelings, because there's times in my life where there was so little margin, it just didn't feel smart. It felt like this is a bad use of money. When we don't have enough to go around, this is bad to tithe first. And God has honored that faith over feeling like sometimes it's not smart. Sometimes I've honestly just felt like I could have some fun. Like, I would rather spend this on something that I can have fun with than automatically see that money disappear as soon as it comes in to the work of Jesus, right? That's some feelings. Now, my faith wins in that battle, and I'm so thankful it did. And if you're not used to hearing a pastor talk about feelings, it's going to be a tough church for you. But I feel sometimes what I feel doesn't always match up with what my faith tells me to do. You with me? Am I by myself? All right, okay. I got other examples, but we'll get to those. What we want to do is bring faith and feelings into alignment. We want those things to work together. Your feelings are not bad. We want your faith and your feelings to work together. And here's the hard part about that, is that feelings follow faith, not the other way. Right? Your faith doesn't follow your feelings. Your feelings follows your faith. You've got to decide. When we say faith today, and when we say this, it's one of our main statements, faith over feelings. Anytime we say that, when we say faith, you can substitute the word trust. We're talking about, what part of your life right now are you leaning and depending on God? Like, you're putting weight, that's what trust is. You put weight on God. Like, if he doesn't come through, what area of your life right now, if he doesn't come through, you're in trouble. That's dependence. That's faith, trust in God. Like, I'm leaning on this table hoping that it's gonna hold me, right? It's the weight of your life, of your decisions. That's what we mean. Trust and faith over your feelings, because it's very easy to build a life where you're leaning on your feelings. Like, when you don't know what to do, like, this is what I feel, and you just go with your gut. It's a very dangerous way to live. It's not a God-honoring way to live. We want to lean hard on our trust in God, on what he says and what we know, not on our feeling. I see some jerseys in the building today, right? It's now legal to bet on sports, right? It's not a sin anymore. Because it's not illegal. I don't know, right? I don't have any inside information, right? When I bet on sports, I'm betting on a feeling. It's not by faith. God didn't tell you, right, who's going to win the game. If he did, would you tell me? I have opinions. I don't think anybody's beaten Jane Daniels. I don't. Not this week, not in 2 weeks. But that's an opinion. Don't bet on that. Pastor said no, right? You can lean and you can put weight on your opinions, other people's opinions. Check this out. First service. We're at Baptism Sunday, right? And you may not be here to be baptized today, and you may be getting baptized today, because we serve a relentless God, and he is really good at getting your attention in very unique, beautiful ways. We had a woman that came. She lives in Fayetteville. She's here on work. She didn't mean to come to church here. She'd been wanting to get baptized for months, and it's been something on her heart. One time here, she happens to come on baptism Sunday. And that's a hard deal at the end. You don't know anybody. She comes forward. She said, I wasn't going to come because I didn't have clothes, but you'll hear the same thing she heard at the end of the service. We got clothes for you, so we took away the excuse, and we got to baptize a woman named Taylor Matthews, first service. Yeah. He's really good at matching things up and getting your attention. And maybe it's time for some of us to be honest about what we're really leaning on, with our, like, what we really trust in, what we're counting on, what we're depending on. Because honestly, some of us, we're counting on ourselves. Like, our weight is on our own wisdom, our own strength, our own plan. And we got to deal with this because it leads to progress. I retired last year from coaching high school basketball, coached my daughter through all of her 4 years of high school, and then retired, sort of. But one of my favorite things about coaching was film study, because film doesn't lie. Right? You can tell me what happened and give all the excuses, but no, we'd all meet, and I would tell the girls after a tough game, I'd say, all right, don't bring your feelings. Leave your feelings at the door, because we're going to have film study. You can't bring your feelings. Teenage girls, some of the stereotypes are true, some are not. I had a tough group of girls, but we'd look at the screen and say, watch so-and-so on this play. Let's do that. Or the harder part was watch so-and-so and, like, let's not do that. That's not what we practice. What are you doing? Right? And I'm not doing that to shame you, Kennedy. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. Why are we doing this? We're doing this for progress. You got to look at the tape so we don't make the same mistake next time. So it's the same with us. If we want to make progress, we've got to look at the tape of our lives. We've got to evaluate, are my feelings matching up with my faith? Because sometimes they're not. Then we can make a plan of attack. Then we can be honest with, okay, in my example of finances, what is the truth about trust in finances? What does that look like? Will God take care of me? Has he ever left me where I couldn't, you know, survive because of tithing, right? So we attack our deficit, we attack our feelings that are not lining up with our faith, and we make a game plan. It's like, okay, we can build our faith so that when we get into the moment, you know what I'm talking about, the moment. If you didn't know, you need to know. There's a moment where your faith and feelings are in combat. When you get to the moment, the stronger your faith is, the more chance it's going to win. It's a muscle that you build. The stronger it is, the more it can handle the moment. If we don't build our faith, then our feelings are often going to dominate, and that's not the life. This whole statement is built on a specific moment. Faith over feelings is built on the reality that there will be moments in your life where your faith and feelings will be in conflict. They just will be. And those moments tend to be massive moments in your life, right? You're listening to me right now to a microphone, a speaker that's being tabulated and calculated by our sound man, my oldest son, Jackson, 20 years old. What do I want from him more than anything? I want for him to understand for the moments of his life. And it's not just that crucial age, that 16 to 25, where you make such massive decisions. It's also for the 30-something, 40, 50, 60, 70-something. It never ends. The biggest moments of your life are moments where conflict between, here's what I'm feeling, and here's what trust in God would look like. And they're not on the same page. That's where this matters. That's where this is hard. That's where we need a community of people that, hey, I'm choosing faith. When you choose faith over your feelings, it helps me choose faith over my feelings. And maybe nobody told you. Maybe you were under the assumption that once you get baptized, become a Christian, your faith and feelings would always line up. It's just not true. So we're excited to tell you that. We're not excited that there's hard stuff coming. We're excited because if you understand that this is coming, you're not going to be shocked by it. You're not going to be shamed on the day of, oh no, my feelings are not in line with my faith. They didn't hold me under long enough. I must not be a real Christian. Something's wrong with me. No, this is part of the deal. It's coming for all of us. I promise, I guarantee it's coming. When the day comes, you got to know, this is a choice to run to my faith or run to my feelings. And here's what we want. We want to run to faith. We want to flush feelings and feed faith and not the other way around. Now, that's progress. And your pastor doesn't do this perfectly. Here's what the church we're not, where I use the tithing example of where I've chosen faith, even though it's hard sometimes, over my feelings. And I don't give you any examples of when feelings have won in my life, right? So I gave you one good example. Let me give you two bad examples of where in my life feelings won over faith. One is a very vague example. One's more specific. Vague example is in arguments. When I'm in an argument, I hesitate to say the phrase, I'm gifted by God, but I'm really good at it. When I'm in an argument, often, especially the people I love the most, people I work with, and here's the hard part for me. It's maybe harder for me. The hard part for me in an argument, almost always, I'm right. So that's tricky, right? It's just harder. So when I'm right, almost always, I'll have a line that can shut the argument down. It'll be like in the courtroom show when they say, throw out the case, case closed, it's over. Like I'll have this line, but it's cutting. Often it's condescending. Often it's below the belt. Often it's unfair, but it's true-ish, but it'll end the argument. And I can feel the Spirit saying, swallow that, swallow that, swallow that. And it's like, and then before I know it, oops, feeling. I feel like this needs to be said because it's true and it's right and there's no comeback to it. And it'll end everything. And I'm right, God, boom, and I say it. And my feelings won over faith because that was not a moment where I was submitting. I was not following anybody. I was leading. Now, I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and I'm going to win this argument. Almost always, immediate regret. If not immediate, then eventual regret. So I lose that. Your pastor loses that. Let me give you a more concrete, specific example. This was 3 weeks ago, maybe. I told you I retired semi. They conned me into being an assistant coach on my son's team, my younger son. So this is the easiest gig in the world, assistant coach in basketball. Or I just show up to games and put in my 2 cents. So we're at a game. I'm only coaching because it's my youngest son, Eli's. It's his last run, so this is it. I'm officially retiring in March forever when he graduates or finishes his season. So one thing, if you don't know basketball, kind of a no-no is you don't talk to players, opposing players, as a coach, assistant or head coach. It's just not something you do. Well, we're in this game, and this dude, number 3, I don't know his name. I don't know where I come from Winston-Salem. The way I grew up, and I'm not going to say him, but in basketball or in sports in general, there's 3 words that you just don't say. You just don't call another man. You can call him that as long as your fists are up as you say it, because those words will not be discussed. Those 3 words, we can talk after if you're really curious. But so this dude thought he was cool, and he threw out one of the no-fly zone words because he got an and-one and got fouled, and he let one of our guys know. It wasn't my son. My son wasn't involved. So our player got up in his face and said, "What did you say?" And this dude, after he said one of the magic words, he was like, "You don't say that word and then cower." And he got pushed, and our guy got teed, and that's fine. Well, he's being that guy, this number 3. So as the game goes on, we start to get up by 5, 10, 15, 20. We're killing this team, right? And then this same dude, all mouthy, drives me nuts. All mouthy when he got a good play, and then the second half, like he's walking up the floor. They're down 30, and he's walking up the floor. His coach calls a timeout because he's not even getting up the floor. He's not hurt. He's just all mouth before, now he's walking up the floor. And I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to. As he's walking down the floor in front of our bench, I stood up. "Just quit, number 3. Just quit. Just quit." And my son, who's beside me, he's like, "Dad." And dude heard me. He didn't look at me because he didn't want none. But he just keeps on walking. All right, I tell people I coach that. I help coach that team as a ministry. It's partly for my son. Also, like, I get to share and be a part of these 8 young men's lives, and that's a blessing. In that moment, right, I wasn't who I wanted to be. In that moment, it wasn't Jesus lead me. It wasn't God created number 3. I think he did. God loves number 3. It was all about this is what I want to do, and this is what I feel, and I said it. And you notice when I told the story, you know how I snuck that in? I didn't even mean to say it. It just came out. We're so good at that. That's a lie, right? Don't tell yourself, it just happened. No, it is feelings get the weight over faith. I didn't invite Jesus into that moment because I wanted to say what I wanted to say, right? If we're going to make progress, we got to look at the tape and say, hey, me, David, in that moment, I didn't care what happened next. I didn't care what thought. I didn't care about an example. I wanted to say what I wanted to say, so I said it. That's not the life. Am I by myself? I'm the only one. Okay. Okay, you with me? Okay. Our feelings, in that way, in that story, our feelings are in the way of our progress. We want to make progress. I felt that in this church, just that one word that we've chosen to lock in on for a whole year. And I love how Rhea said it, looking up, not looking out. That will help us with progress, and progress doesn't come without peace. To make progress, we're going to have to deal and be honest with some feelings. And I think part of the problem is we're feeding some feelings when God would call us to flush some feelings, and instead of feeding our faith. You know, we did a study last year about what forms us, and the truth is everybody in the room is being formed by something, by some things, by someone. What we consume forms us. And that's not this whole conversation, but it's a piece of the conversation. Some of us are feeding our feelings, right? And it's not all about media. I don't mean to harp on that. But our feelings get out of step with our faith sometimes. And if we're honest, our feelings are coming from what we're consuming. Like, they have an impact, right? Media is strong. I can remember walking out of Rocky as a kid. Right? I was shadow boxing in the parking lot, right? Which is nothing wrong with that. It's just the power of inspiring stuff. Well, some of us are consuming stuff that's inspiring us to sin. We're feeding our feelings, right? And I think the enemy's laughing at us because we think we're binging a show, and the enemy would say, look at that dude. He's taking a class. He's taking a class. This show, I'm going to teach him through this class how to be selfish and live for himself. And he's going to consume this show, and he's going to call it entertainment. And what I'm doing is I'm actually training and renewing his mind to live for himself and only think of himself, because that's what the show glorifies. Some of us are taking classes in adultery. We are consuming content that glorifies the affair, right? That plants seeds, right? We're responsible for what we do. I'm just saying we've got to feed our faith instead of our feelings. And what you listen to in the podcast here and there, what music you listen to, what shows and movies you're consuming. Here's what I don't understand. We have people in this church that, from my perspective, they love Jesus with all their heart. They're all about him. They're sincere, authentic followers of Jesus. But when it comes time to that, those hours that are theirs to watch what they want to watch, they shut the door in Jesus' face. They say, he doesn't get to speak into this. This is my time. And I think that's creating some feelings that are working against our faith. Let's feed our faith, right? There is good stuff out there and ways to watch stuff that's not, doesn't come with all the mess that's in our world. Because our world is all about the feeling, and if you feel it, do it, and all those things. We got to fight harder against that. It's part of the deal, right? As we see people today commit their lives to Jesus, just such a beautiful thing we get to be a part of, right? If you've been baptized, even if it's a long time ago, this should move you. It should remind you. You should celebrate for the person, yes. It should also remind you of the day that you had the faith to trust Jesus with your life, to come in relationship with him, rescued and adopted. If you've ever been rescued or adopted, you don't forget either of those things. So we celebrate what God's done in your life. But part of this decision, just so you know, is a denial of self. It comes with it. If somebody told you, hey, once you become a Christian, you don't ever have to deny anything, like it's smooth sailing, right? Here's the truth that some of you just don't believe. Every human in this room has desires or feelings that are not of God. Everybody in this room at times has desires and feelings that do not line up with God. You think, no, not everybody, not Kelly Jones. All right, my wife. No, she's included. And I talked to her. I was like, help me with this message, faith over feelings. Like, what does that look like for you? And she said a lot of smart things. But she said two ways that this has shown up in her life. For her, she said something brilliant. She said, often when God calls her to do something uncomfortable is when she wants to lean towards feelings over faith. She used the example of us moving here to start Relentless Church all those years ago as a time where it was hard for her to kind of separate, navigate feelings versus faith, because the feelings were, we were comfortable where we were, and there was very little risk. There was a lot of risk in this, and risk is not attractive, and that's where she had to lean on her faith to get through that. The other way she said that this has shown up in her life is the area of forgiveness, that she rarely feels like forgiving, that's got to be a faith, which is such an issue in our church. We keep hearing the phrase church hurt, forgiveness, bitterness, so we got a whole series on that. I think it's such a felt touch thing in our culture. So we're going to hit it. We're going to announce it on Easter to everybody that'll be here on Easter that you're going to bring. And then we're going to advertise on Easter Sunday, hey, next week we start a series on forgiveness and church hurt and all those things. So that's coming. You can be excited about that. Faith over feelings. All of us have stuff. And part of walking with Jesus is the denial of those things. Hebrews 11:1. When we say faith over feelings, what are we talking about? Faith is defined in Hebrews 11. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, I'm looking at Hebrews 11, and it's not going to be on the screen, just that verse. That's what faith is. It's I'm confident of what we're hoping for. We say forever focused because we're focused on a forever that's coming. And we're trying to live like we know this life isn't just today, like there's a forever that's coming. It says, this is what the ancients were commended for. This is what our heroes in the faith. And then it gives us a whole chapter. The heading of the chapter is by faith. It's a whole chapter of people that live by faith. It doesn't say anything about feelings, but I'm telling you, they did not live by feelings. They were living by faith. It talks about by faith Noah, when warned against things not seen, in holy fear built an ark. All right, you think he was feeling it? My wife reminded me, that process was a 100-year process. Now, some of you, if you grew up with the Bible school version of Noah just skipping out of his house every day, I get to build this ark. I don't know what an ark is, but there's rain coming. I don't know what rain is, but I'm just going to keep doing it. Woohoo! Sorry. There's no chance for 100 years there wasn't some days where Noah's like, God, what in the world? I ain't feeling this. But by faith, he did it. It says by Abraham, by faith, not by feeling, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. You feeling that? God knocks on your heart today and say, hey, I need you to pack your stuff and get in the car and go. You say, where are we going, God? I'll tell you when we get there. I'm not feeling that, right? Listen to God and do what he says. It's a lifestyle, but it's on faith. It's not on feeling. It doesn't mean your feelings are wrong. It just means that sometimes they're not going to line up. And which way do you lean? Do you lean with your faith or do you lean with your feelings? Leaning on your feelings is such a dangerous way to live. I think a lot of the regrets in the room could be traced back to trusting feelings over faith. It's beautiful when they line up, and sometimes they do. The New Testament says it this way, 2 Corinthians, for we live by faith, not by sight. All right, I'm going to say live by faith. You say amen. We live by faith, amen. Not by sight. It's perfect. We didn't practice that, but it's live by faith, amen, not by sight. Murmur, amen. Because we don't like the not by sight. The definition of living by faith is not by sight. That's a definition. How do I live by faith? You don't get to see. That's what the life of faith is. If you can see it, then it's not faith. We require faith. There's a day coming, church, where the faith is not required. You're going to go up and talk to Jesus like you come up and talk to anybody else in the room. He's going to be visible. We're going to be in forever. There'll be no faith required. On this side of heaven, we live by faith. Not by feelings and not by sight. The definition of the faith life is I can't see this. I'm trusting that what God says is true, and I'm building on something. I'm leaning on something. And you say, well, living by faith, that's scary. I like to know where I'm going, right? I'm not trying to drive when it's foggy and I can't see. It's too scary. It's only scary if the table you're leaning on isn't strong. If the God that you're building your life on is weak, then that's a scary way to live, by faith in him that you can't see, that you can't trust. If he can't handle your sin, if he can't handle your doubts, if he can't handle your fears, then that's a scary life. If he can handle all that, and he can, then we can live by faith. We can count on this God who keeps coming through, who keeps showing up. He's a relentless God. He's chasing some of you to make the decision you've been thinking about for years today to be baptized and to finally commit your life to him. We live by faith, not by sight. Those things go together. We're living by faith as a church. This week is an important, significant date, February 1st, because February 1st, 2027, our lease runs up. We are no longer allowed to be at this building. That's why we did a whole capital campaign back in the fall, which was a whole faith over feelings move for us to do, and God showed up and was so good. Listen to God and do what he says. Over $2 million was committed by our church, which we're ahead of pace now. We're actually ahead of pace of how that money's coming in. So thank you for that beautiful stuff. And we did that because we don't know where we're going. I got nothing to announce or no updates. We'll give them as they come. But we know 2 years from this Saturday, we got to be somewhere other than here. And God reminded me this week. He said, David, are you sure that February 1st, 2027 is ever going to happen? Are you sure that that day even is, like, are we going to get that far in this world? And I said, Lord, I don't know that. So I don't have any inside information. I'm just paying attention. I don't know. So we're going to plan and prepare and pray like February 1st, 2027 is coming, because that's wisdom. But I'm going to preach like it's not. I'm going to preach like we might not be here next week, because I don't know. And you don't either. So we got to live with that urgency of not knowing. And we do that by faith. We can't say, man, I fully believe that God created the world, that he showed up on the earth through Jesus, that my sins were present. He covered my sins on the cross. He defeated death and rose from the dead. He gave us his Holy Spirit. He started the church. We're now 2,000 years into that. But I'm not sure if he's ever coming back. It's by faith we believe what did happen. By faith we believe what's going to happen. And it affects how we live. And if you only follow Jesus when you feel it, are you really following Jesus? Really, let's be honest, you're asking Jesus to follow you and your feelings. And Jesus isn't into that. Let's be honest. Sometimes we say he's our God, and the reality is we're our own God. If you don't ever deny yourself anything that you feel, then you're your own God. We need to change the lyrics. We need to change it to, I will never fail. Right? It doesn't sound as good, right? But if it's about God, and we got to sing it, say it, and be real with who's really in charge of our life. And wait a second, Pastor, you left out a verse. God will give you the desires of your heart. Doesn't it say he'll give you the desires of your heart? It does not say that. It's an often misquoted verse. It's from Psalm 37. What it says is, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of the heart. So the path to that is a delight in the Lord, that if you connect with Jesus, commit to Jesus, and are in relationship with Jesus, through that relationship, it's the transformation we talk about, through the renewing of your mind. You'll start to hate stuff that you used to love. You'll start to love stuff that you used to hate, because he's working in you and changing you, so the things that he's about, now you're about. And it's not the pastor trying to guilt you into stop watching a show. It's through relationship, and you actually, I don't want to watch that show anymore. The desire for that stuff makes me sick. Because the heart of God, because as I delight in the Lord, he will change your desires, and he is so happy and excited to give you the desires of his heart / your heart as your heart and his heart start to match up. All of that begins with a simple decision declaration that I'm not driving the car of my life. I'm going to give up trust. I'm going to give up control of my life and trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior. In Scripture, when humans make that miraculous decision, the response is baptism. It doesn't mean you got it all figured out. I was baptized at 9 years old. We're getting ready to see a 9-year-old baptism here in a little bit. Here's how we do this at Relentless. We trust parents to help us make decisions of how, we don't have an age, it's too young. We want people to say, I might need to be rebaptized. Like, you need to pray about that. We're not in the habit of baptizing people over and over again. What we say is, was the decision about Jesus? Was it for Jesus? If it wasn't for Jesus, you really weren't baptized. Was it your decision? If it was grandma saying, no, you're getting baptized today, that's really not Christian baptism. It's got to be for Jesus, and it's got to be your decision. And we trust families with that. And it starts, the whole life that you were created to live starts with I trust God to lead my life. I don't have all the answers. I didn't have all the answers at 9, but I knew that this Jesus was real and that he was calling me. And I responded, and that's when life began. Our prayers that maybe January 26th, will be part of your testimony, the day that God knocked on the door of your heart. When Peter preached one of the first messages after Jesus, here was the response in Acts 2. They said, says the people heard the gospel, they were cut to the heart. Why were they cut to the heart? Because the gospel is the good news. Well, the good news is built on bad news. The bad news is you can't save yourself. You can lean on yourself all you want, and if that's all you got is your best effort, you don't want to meet your holy God. You just have no hope if you're leaning on yourself or what you think or your feelings. Your only hope is in what Jesus has done for you. So they were cut to the heart of like, I can't fix myself. What do we do? Peter's answer was simple. Repent, turn, and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And it mentions Relentless Church in this verse. Can you believe that? This gift of the Holy Spirit, this promise is for you, your children, and for all who are far off. That's us. For all whom the Lord our God will call. If God's calling you to be baptized today, we're trusting that you're going to know that. And we do. We got all the stuff. We got the clothes. We got the underwear. So you don't have to. You can leave here in your dry clothes that you wore. We got it all figured out. And people say, well, I can't be baptized because Aunt Betty would kill me if I got baptized and she wasn't here to see it. Listen, I know Aunt Betty. Aunt Betty will kill you if you didn't respond to the call of God. We'll film it and we'll show Aunt Betty and she'll be so happy and proud of you. Forget about Aunt Betty. This is between you and God. I'm going to ask you to stand up. Our worship teams will lead us. If you want to be baptized, you didn't plan on it, we got you. We're ready. Just meet me up front. We got some baptisms where we know we're going to celebrate. If you want to be added to that, we would love to have you stand up and pray with me. Father, would you have the room right now? Would you call? Would you be clear? Would you touch hearts? God, you gave us feelings, and part of this is us feeling our Father, the one who created us. If you're calling those, that you would just be so clear. Give boldness, give courage, give strength. God, just have your way in the room. For those that are close and ready to make a decision, help their feet move forward. God, for those that have already made this decision, I pray they would be moved again by what they're going to build this life on, that they would live by faith. That would be the motto of our church. So we'd have a bunch of people living not by our feelings, but by our faith. Would you align those faith, our faith and our feelings, to go live and love people well this week? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Around me.
You guys can have a seat and come on up. Let's go Gavin first. AJ, you'll get your witch. You'll go second, all right? Let me introduce you to Gavin. Gavin has been with us for a while. His mother, Laura, his sister, Fiona, are here, ready to go. Gavin, I'm going to hand it over to Phil. I just want you to repeat after me if this is true in your heart, that I believe.
That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of living God, and I trust Him as my Lord and Savior.
So, this is Gavin. I first met him at RC Students back in, I think, August, maybe early September, late August. Not going to get too specific on the date, but he came and was just, from the get-go, eager to just get involved and to know people, and would always ask very earnest questions and give very honest answers about where he is in his walk. And it's just been so exciting to watch him to just continue to take steps, keep showing up, and keep being vulnerable in front of a group of guys who he didn't really know at first. And I think that he is starting to be known, and he's starting to know others. And he's it's just been a joy to watch him continue to grow in his faith. Now, I received an email earlier this week from his mom saying that Gavin's ready to be baptized. He's someone that Pastor David alluded to earlier, where he was baptized as a kid, but it turns out he didn't realize what he was doing or have understand the significance of what he was doing. So after a conversation with him, he said that he is now ready to take that step on his own to giving his life to Jesus. And it's a really cool story. Yes, yeah. So in our conversations in youth group, one of the things that we've been talking a lot about is spending quality time with God and what that looks like. Creating space intentionally so that God can come in and speak to us. And making ourselves available through sitting quietly, through prayer, through worship, through good, healthy relationships that are centered on Jesus. And one of the things that Gavin shared was that he had this moment with Jesus. Gardening is one of his favorite hobbies. And he was having a difficult season. And he shared with Jesus in a garden what was on his heart and on his mind and things that he was working through. And in that, he had this overwhelming sense of peace and clarity. And if that's not a Jesus moment, I don't know what is. So that happened last year, and through the grace of God, just patiently waiting for him to get to this point and saying, I'm ready. And similar to me, it took me a long time from the first time that I raised my hand to give my life to Jesus. It took me about a year before I actually did it. So you're in good company. And I just want to, I'm excited to baptize you and walk with you in these next steps. So if you would like to, please.
Hey, Jay, stand with me, my 9-year-old friend. Did you hear me say I was baptized when I was 9? Isn't that kind of cool? So, parents, we trust you. Obviously, there is an age too young. They need to know what they're doing. But also, parents, you never want to be in the way, right, of God. So one of the things we talk about is consistency. If they ask about baptism today because they saw it, and then you don't hear anything for weeks or months, right? I think you wait, and this dude was relentless. This started last June with him asking questions and keeps coming, keeps wanting to talk about his baptism. And Alex and Sarah, who are a power couple, if you didn't know, we got power couples at Relentless. Alex and Sarah felt like AJ knows what he's doing, and it's his time, and he's super excited. We're super excited to walk this out with you. AJ, I'm going to ask you to repeat that same thing, that I believe.
That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of Living God,
and I trust him
as my Lord and Savior.
Jesus with your life, what you just declared, and your faith, it is our privilege to be a part of this. We're going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Death. Thank you. We're going to end the service by praying for these two, AJ and Gavin. If you kind of stand up in front of the baptism with your families, you guys stand right up here. And families can get around. And then anybody, we're all family. So we're going to close by just praying them out. So if you want to come touch one of these, we have a responsibility, church. I don't care if it's your first Sunday with us, but if you're part of the Church of Jesus, we have a responsibility in walking with them. There's going to have moments where their feelings might get in the way, and that's where they need the body of Christ to surround them. So this is our victory. This is our celebration, not just theirs. So it's their families. It's their church family. So let me pray. Father, thank you for Gavin and for AJ. God, thank you for the time. Only you know, God, the prayers that have gone into these lives. God, thank you for the example. AJ shared earlier that it was his sister Jules that really started having him thinking about this decision for himself. Just thank you for all the ways that you work. God, I pray for Gavin and AJ and their futures, that they would live by faith, they would lean hard on you, that we would love them well, teach them well, train them well, that you would bless them and their lives forever. In Jesus' name, amen. One last thing as you go. I know there's those in this room that are thinking about this decision. The invitation never ends. We have another baptism Sunday, I believe, in March. We're always ready and excited to have that conversation if you want to talk. We will see you next week.